How many of you have ever asked, what is God's will for my life? You don't need to raise your hand, but I'm guessing that there are quite a few of us who have wondered that at one time or another. Often it comes up at life's big decision points, right? Which college should I attend? What career direction should I pursue? Should I take job A or job B? Or should I leave job A in order to go to job B? Our decisions are important, and so it's important to be seeking God's guidance in them. But we make a mistake if we think that's mainly what it means to seek God's will for our lives. That following God's will is just about choosing the right path. I remember at different points in life just agonizing over some of the big decisions, usually between several good options. Those can be the most agonizing, right? It's not hard to make a decision when we're deciding between a clearly good option and a clearly bad option. But it's trying to sort out between the good, or maybe trying to figure out which is least bad among the bad options. So at one of those decision times, I had an aha moment when I realized that maybe God wasn't as interested in which decision I made so much as that I would walk with him in trust with whichever decision I made. God's will for my life was not so wrapped up in whether I chose door number one or door number two, but in how I would walk through either door and along the path that followed. God is more interested in our manner of walking, in the orientation of our lives toward him, than which door we walk through. And this is what we see in Micah 6:8. Which actually contains the answer for those of us wanting to know God's will for our life. Let me read it now. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This summary of the Old Testament that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks is a summary of God's will for our lives. It's not about the path we take, but the way we live. Micah lays out for Israel and for us what is good and what God desires. We've talked about the first two imperatives, that we are called to actively engage in seeking justice for those around us, both far and near. And we're called to love steadfast love, to desire God's love toward us, and to desire to love others with that kind of faithful love, and to value and celebrate that kind of love when we see it in others. The last imperative of this verse is that we are called to walk humbly with our God. Such a simple concept, and yet very profound. Today, I want to break it down into its parts and explore its richness. And as I do, I pray that you'll be listening for what aspect of this simple phrase that God would have you be focusing on right now in this season of life. Let's first explore one portion of the phrase. What does it mean to walk with God? Recently, I bought a Fitbit. How many of you have heard of Fitbits? 3 weeks ago, I hadn't heard of them. It's one of those glorified pedometer gadgets that counts my steps and tracks how far I've walked. And it's great because it makes me pay attention to how much I'm walking, and it challenges me to try and get in my steps for the day. But what's funny is how aware I am of the steps that I take when I'm not wearing my Fitbit. So maybe, you know, the bathroom in the middle of the night, don't have my Fitbit on. Maybe the long walk from the locker room to the pool, that's a lot of steps, and I'm not getting credit for those. Walking with God is not like walking with a Fitbit, but that awareness of the presence or absence of my Fitbit is what we want to apply to walking with God. Walking with God means that we are mindful of God's presence with us as we go through our daily activities. While we believe intellectually in God's omnipresence, that God is everywhere, it's easy for us to be unaware of his presence with us. I remember in high school, I think it was some talk at the youth group, but realizing that the only times that I would think about God was on Sundays when I went to church and Wednesdays when I went to youth group. And I wanted to think about God during the week, but I would just forget to. So I'm glad to say that's an area where I've grown over time. And different things have helped. Becoming more regular and spending time with God was a big one. And also developing more Christian friendships. My Christian friendships were so important in growing my awareness because we talked about our lives. And as we did that, we would look at where God was in the midst of everything going on and try and figure out what God was showing us, which started giving me eyes to see God in my daily life. There are many ways to increase our daily mindfulness of God, including a few ideas that people from this congregation have shared. One is to choose scripture verses as your passwords. So that way, whenever you log into a website, you have this built-in reminder to think about God and God's word. Another person told me that when he was struggling with a certain person at work, he challenged himself to pray before each meeting that would involve that person. He invited God into his work life by establishing a discipline of seeking God's help with an interpersonal challenge. Others have used that hourly beep that you can set on your watch to be a little reminder to stop whatever you're doing and quickly pray. Brother Lawrence is known for his book called The Practice of the Presence of God, which is based on his experiments with intentionally seeking to bring God to mind throughout his day as he worked. And that's a helpful phrase, practicing God's presence. More mindfulness doesn't just happen. It grows through practice, and it's helpful to develop some intentional disciplines that help us grow our awareness of God's presence. In the book 1001 Gifts, the author Anne Voskamp says something similar when she reflects on Paul's statement, "I have learned to be content in all circumstances." She writes about how one day she realized that his contentment was a learned attitude, not one that came naturally to Paul because he's some kind of super Christian that we can't relate to. By intentionally creating a list of things that she was thankful for, she began to learn gratitude and to learn Paul's secret of contentment. Often a greater awareness of God's presence doesn't just happen. It comes from this kind of intentional learning, training ourselves to intentionally look for God sightings or to bring God to mind or to look for opportunities to be grateful. Walking with God also has an ethical component. It means seeking to live consistently with the ethics that Jesus has laid out for us. Sometimes it's easy to sort out what Christ would have us do. His ethics calling us to love and forgive and turn from evil give us what we need to know about the right course of action. The challenge then is following it when our desires or sinful natures make it difficult. In those cases, walking with God means seeking God's help to give you strength and courage to make the right choice and to change your heart as it needs to be changed. But there are other times, especially in today's confusing moral landscape where technology makes new ethically ambiguous choices possible, or where there are difficult moral trade-offs to consider, or where scripture is silent or unclear or not definitively prescriptive. For example, we know that we're called to give generously, but how do we know how much is enough? The Bible prescribes generous giving, but does not give us the number or percentage that tells us that we've given the right amount. For all those areas, walking with God means seeking to understand what guidance God has given, and seeking to understand God's heart as best we can, and then trying to live that out, walking confidently forward, trusting the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, even in the midst of the uncertainty, and to grow us and transform us as we look to Him. But the call is not just to walk with God, seeking to be mindful of God, to orient our lives toward God, and live according to God's ethics. The call is to walk humbly with God. The Message renders this phrase, "Don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously." The idea of walking humbly with God includes this notion of recognizing your limitations and therefore your need for God. It means trusting God more than I trust myself. That well-known verse from the Proverbs 3 passage that we just read states this well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. I have another story that's kind of random where I recognized just powerfully my tendency to trust my own insight. So after seminary, while I was looking for a pastoral position, I had a job as a content development editor helping create standardized math tests. I apologize to those of you who have taken the CSAPs. I didn't work on that, but I did work for that company. One of my coworkers, Jason, had one of the best math minds I've ever known. He actually told me how in the summer before his senior year in high school, calculus just came to him. So he just, all of a sudden, he got calculus without ever having been taught it. It's kind of hard to fathom, but that's a pretty incredible math mind, right? Well, one day, Jason told me this math puzzle that had to do with figuring out the ages of three children given a few pieces of information. I'm not going to tell it to you because then you would spend the whole rest of my sermon trying to figure it out. But I took a stab at it, and I created variables for the three children's ages, and I set up different equations, and I determined that Jason must have made a mistake because I had only two equations and four unknowns. And, you know, you can't figure things out with that, right? So according to my logical reasoning, Jason had to be wrong. Which was strange, since as I've told you, he has an incredible math mind, so you would think he would know how to pose a math problem. So I worked on it, struggled over it a bit, started playing with different approaches, and all of a sudden I had one of those aha moments where I figured it all out, which was so great. Turns out Jason had told it correctly. I just couldn't see it at first. And since I was part math nerd, as you can tell, and part seminary nerd, I had another flash of insight that was even more important. I recognized how quickly I become a skeptic in life. I had every reason to have faith in Jason's math skills, and yet as soon as it didn't square up with what my logic was telling me, I doubted. And I realized that's what I do with God all the time. I have every reason to trust God and believe that He knows better than I do. But as soon as I don't see it, as soon as what's going on in my life or in the world doesn't square up with what I think should be happening, I quickly begin to doubt God, doubt His promises, or even doubt His goodness. That's not what it means to humbly walk with God, because that's taking myself, my thoughts, my insights, much more seriously than I take God. Walking humbly with God means believing what God has said, even when it conflicts with how I see things. The Proverbs passage beautifully expands on this idea of what it means to walk humbly with God by trusting Him and taking Him at His word. It means keeping God's commands and turning away from evil, recognizing that a trustworthy God has set these commandments there for our own good. It means honoring the Lord by giving of our material goods, not hoarding to provide for ourselves, but trusting that God will provide as we obediently give back to Him. It means recognizing that there are times that God disciplines us as a loving parent would. Trusting God means not seeing this discipline as a sign of God's disfavor, but trust that God is working in it for our good. Walking humbly with God means letting God be God, and not trying to take on that role ourselves. This includes recognizing our limitations to control things or make things happen. It means not trying to take on what only God can do, those things that are out of our hands. The Serenity Prayer gives such a great idea of what it means to walk humbly with God. seeking God's help to be serene and not anxious about the things we cannot control, seeking courage from God to take the steps forward that are in our power, and seeking God's guidance to determine which is which. Walking humbly with God also means recognizing that my life is not all about me. It means recognizing that my life has a place in God's bigger story, and that's what gives it significance. We often turn that around and just view God as being a character in our own story, really only seeing God as significant for what he does or doesn't do for us. This kind of mindset leads us to see God as a big Santa in the sky and leads us to a "what have you done for me lately" approach to God. Feeling closer to God if he's blessed us, feeling tempted to turn away from God if he's allowed bad things to come our way. But walking humbly with God means seeking to find our place in God's story, joining in Christ's redemptive work of reversing the effects of the fall by working for justice and beauty and restoration, and his work of proclaiming the good news of God's love and grace. God has a part for each one of us to play in the larger story of what he's doing in our world. He has something for each of us to do, and people whom he wants us to impact. Walking humbly means seeking to live out the general call that God has for all Christ followers, and also seeking to listen to God for the specific call that he has for us. Walking humbly shows up in a concern for others. When we let God have first place in our lives, basically dethroning ourselves, we recognize our call, as Paul writes in Philippians, to let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Walking humbly with God shows up in serving others. And service is also one of the spiritual disciplines that we can practice to develop humility in us. Since it's Mother's Day, I thought I'd share one of the ways that I've watched my mom live out what it means to walk humbly with God. After my dad died, my mom started opening up her home to people who needed a place to live. Since then, she has shared her home with at least 8 exchange students, more than 12 young adults struggling financially, spiritually, or both, a single father and his child, and even a family of 4. Obviously, when the word gets out that there's the possibility of a cheap room for rent in Carmel, she gets a lot of people who are interested. But she always prays about it and listens for who God's prompting her to say yes to. It's been really beautiful for me to watch and see the godly influence she's had on the lives of those who've stayed with her. Opening up her home like this has had its blessings, but it's also been extremely challenging, inconvenient, and frustrating for her at times. But she sees it as a specific way that God is calling her to serve, a way to recognize that her home belongs to God and not to her, and a way to share the gospel without even leaving home. She also recognizes that life isn't all about her comfort and convenience, but about allowing herself to be used by God in other people's lives. As we break down this profound phrase into its parts, we recognize that the call is for us to walk humbly with our God, or as Micah says, your God. That is covenant language. When God sets up his covenant with the people of Israel, he says, "You will be my people, and I will be your God." God pledges himself to us, the collective people of God, and us as individual followers of Christ. This phrase reaffirms God's covenant relationship with us, and the promises that God has made to be faithful to us and to love us with a steadfast love no matter what we do. The call is not for us to walk with some impersonal deity, but to walk with a God who has pledged himself to us, to walk with a God who knows us and loves us and desires us to know him and love him. A God who acted on that desire by becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, who demonstrated his love for us by being willing to lay down his life for our sakes. This is God's will for our lives, that we would walk humbly with him. There are so many different aspects of what it means, and it's something for us to try to live into our whole lives. But I want us to pause for a moment now and reflect on which aspect of that phrase, walk humbly with your God, do you most need to focus on right now? Is God's love for you and his faithfulness and trustworthiness a new concept or something you need to be reminded of? Do you need to grow in what it means to trust a trustworthy God? To take God seriously, to take God at his word and trust him more than you trust your own insights? Would it help to start practicing some spiritual disciplines which can help you be more mindful of God's presence with you throughout the day? Are you spending time with God and studying his word, praying and listening so that you can start to recognize God's voice, giving you direction and wisdom as you walk through life? Do you need to make that shift from seeing life as all about you and recognize that your life is part of God's story and be more active in seeking how he's calling you to be part of his larger work in the world? Are you trying to control things that are out of your hands and you need to turn those over to God in prayer, seeking his serenity? We're going to close with some time of silent prayer and reflection as you listen to what God is showing you about how you can grow in walking humbly with him. And after some time of silence, I will close us in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that it delights you to hear our heart say that we want to walk humbly with you. God, there's so many different aspects of what that means, but I pray that you would be working in each of us, just prompting us in that aspect that you would have us focus on. God, we pray that as individuals and as a congregation, we would grow into this phrase more and more each day. God, and that from that, you would bear beautiful fruit through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.